Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It is LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block, and my name is Jim Christina, your host. Tonight, we have Bobby Jean Bell in the studio with us.
I'm back.
And she's back. Hang on just a second. I want to know how your concert series was last week.
Oh, great. We kicked off our new 2016 season of the SCV TV Presents the Out West Concert Series with a wonderful trio. Musicians came in from New Mexico. They call themselves, when they perform together, the Cowboy Way. SCV TV was there with a brand new, exciting piece of equipment that was so fun. They were actually able to edit the concert as it went along. And they brought a big monitor for the lobby so we could actually watch the concert in the lobby. If we have a sold-out house, we could actually be able to still, you know, see the concert in the lobby. And it was very exciting. They gave us a great night. Our audience was so having such a great time. It was a wonderful evening. But you had a great show, because I listened to the podcast and you were having a blast.
We had a ball. We had Mark Stevens and Jillian Boyd.
Jillian, uh-huh.
And Russ Avison was in with us last week. And we just sat here and laughed, because it was just all about their new sitcom, which is Welcome to Our Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Very
about
fun.
About the Florida trailer people. Oh, my God. It is hilarious. And they were hilarious.
Yep.
And I think I broke something. We were laughing so hard. As a matter of fact, the bookie, my wife, Jerry, says that we laughed so much that she missed half the show.
We laugh a lot on this show.
We do.
Actually, when I listen back at old shows, and I think, you know, we are talking about literary things and somewhat kind of, you know, serious topics, but we have a really good time.
We do.
With it, that we're not, you know, we're having, it's playful. We're having a great time. We have wonderful guests. They write great books
and blogs and
scripts, and it's really fun.
And most of them are just really delightful people.
Yeah.
And the ones that you didn't think were going to be are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you have it.
I think it's the creative spark.
Probably. And besides the fact they love talking about themselves. Okay, The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley, by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, and by Target Freight Management in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's our main sponsor. And if you want to call in and talk to our guest tonight, we'll get to her in just a moment. The number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And tonight's guest, I'm going to let Bobby, you want to take this one?
No.
Okay. Tonight's guest, we've been threatening to do this for a long time. I finally contacted this lady, and she agreed to come on the show with us. She is a literary agent. And for all of you out there that always scratch your head or parts beyond and wonder how to get an agent or wonder how to get something published using an agent, this lady can help you out. Her name is Jeannie Loyacono, and she is an agent in Texas. She calls herself a facilitator of dreams, and we're going to let her pretty much explain her own thing to you here in just a second. Jeannie, you with us?
I'm with you.
Oh, lovely.
We're so happy to have you with us.
We are. We're just, I mean, we're really lucky. And let me give you the special Writer's Block welcome. That's it.
Wow.
There can be more of that later, Jeannie.
you get more as the evening goes on. Why don't you give us a little bit about yourself? What got you into being an agent? Bada boom, bada bing.
Well, I've loved reading and writing all of my life. Give you a quick background. My sister was the one that taught me how to read, and she introduced me to great books. And I can remember being in the third grade and reading Trixie Belden. And it was the first time that words meant something. because until then people would read to you and they would explain everything to you. And it was at that point that it really clicked. And I thought, this is cool. I can go off in my own little world. And, you know, I just loved that reading all my life. But back in 2008, I started organizing a conference, writers' conference, on St. Simon's Island. And I met a really nice lady who is an author. And at the time, she was an agent. Her name is Holly McClure. And she said, have you ever thought about being an agent? You know, I said to myself, no, never thought about being an agent, but why not? Because I had all the background. I mean, I've done a dozen different things. I've invented myself more than Madonna. And I thought, why not? So I did. And she took me under her wing, and she gave me a few, you know, pointers on what to do and how to do it. And then I started working for Sullivan Max Literary Agency, and I did that for, oh, about 2 years or so. And she decided she was going to sell the company, and I decided I wanted my own. So I started up my own company in 2013, and my authors came with me, the ones that I had, and since then I have accumulated 80 wonderful authors and some of the best books that I've ever read.
Good.
Yeah, your book list on your website, your website's awesome, by the way. The book list on your website that lists the currently, you've got 172. And I was bopping around there last night and clicking through, you know, titles. And Jeannie, I need to read every single one of these books.
Maybe I can get some groceries.
Well, believe me, if she can get her hands on them, she'll read them.
What a phenomenal stable of authors and so much different kind of literature. Tell us a little bit about the genres that you represent.
Well, I tell everybody I take on just about everything but erotica and poetry. It's got to be good.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, if it doesn't grab me on the first page and it doesn't pull me into the rabbit hole, I kind of put it to the side. Then I think, is it good or not? And then I'll read a little bit more. Sometimes books like, for instance, Tom Simmons, By Accident of Birth, that book grabbed me from the first sentence. Beverly Bethany Quinn, I just fell in love with this girl because she's like a spitfire. She was born of a bullet, believe it or not. Back in this. It's a true story. There was a girl that was observing the Battle of Vicksburg, and there was a big scene where the Confederate soldiers were hiding behind a berm and firing upon the Union soldiers that were in this big boat. And they thought they were winning, so one Confederate soldier who was not so smart stood up and started waving the Confederate flag, and the sharpshooter shot him through the groin. Well, the bullet passed through the groin, and it hit Beverly Bethany Quinn and nicked her uterus, therefore impregnating her.
Oh, my gosh.
This isn't really a true story, is it?
It's true. The complete story is not true. It's a fiction. It's a literary historical fiction.
Okay, good.
But it's based on a true story.
I would hate to think there's going to be another Star in the East next Christmas.
Well,
it's a wonderful story, and I highly recommend it.
You have an author, Malcolm Barber, and he's written a book, Treasure Quest of the Third Reich, but he's an expert on the Knights Templars.
Yes, and he did a jam-up job with that book. And that's another one that grabs you from the beginning and doesn't let you go because it's so believable. He's a historian, so when he writes books, he makes it real. He brings those people to life, and you really believe it happened.
Hmm.
And then every book by Bernard? Is that how he says his last name?
Bernard.
Okay, so, you know, they have the one-word titles, you know, Blizzard. and Plague. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure these are the kind of books. And then I read those wonderful synopses and looked at his picture and thought, oh, my gosh, I have to read all of these.
Well, the funny thing about Buzz Bernard is the fact that he writes from experience also.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He was in the military. He flew with the Hurricane Hunters. He's a meteorologist. He worked with the Weather Channel. So when he writes a story, he will scare the pants off of you.
That's what I thought.
Real. It could really happen.
Right, right.
Good example was his first book that I took on. I met him right after I became an agent, and I started reading it. I said, I've got to have this book, because in the book, my house is under 30 feet of water. I lived on St. Simon's Island at the time. And Buzz Bernard's book was called Eyewall. It was about a Cat 5 hurricane that hits St. Simon's head on. They think it's supposed to hit, you know, near Hilton Head, but the winds change, and it's heading towards St. Simon's on Labor Day, and there's over 30,000 people on the island and one way off.
So,
and nobody's warned.
How
so I'm reading this book, honestly, and I'm thinking, my house is under 30 feet of water. I got to have this book.
So how did you find Buzz, or how did Buzz find you? How do you and your authors find each other?
You know, it's really strange. Every single one is different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I meet them at conferences. I actually get most of them via email, you know, email submissions. But then I get to meet a lot of them, and they'll send me the pitches, and then I'll go to the conference, and I'll get to meet them and, you know, be able to pick it, you know, pick their brains a little bit about their stories.
Hmm. Yeah, I noticed that. Do you have a how-to page on your website, which is actually very amazing?
Yeah.
And it makes things really easy.
It's very important, because if you send me something and it's not polished, it's not done correctly, that's a big turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go by my submission guidelines on the website, when you send it to me, it should be good to go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I won't have to work on it very much, and then I can get it polished and offer a contract and then sell the book easily.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, actually, you had a question about that.
About the guidelines or about
the difference between...
Oh, yes, the difference. I was curious if you can share with us a little bit. I am not an author, so I've never, you know, written anything or submitted anything. I'm just a voracious reader. But if you could share a little bit about, let's say, the difference between a literary agent and an editor... and how you find, let's say a book comes your way, a manuscript, and you're captivated and you take it on. How do you find the best publisher for it? A little bit about that process.
Well, the difference between a literary agent and an editor is, a literary agent, to me, is the go-between, the gatekeeper. Most editors at publishing houses, whether big or small, will not even accept a submission from an author directly, mainly because most authors don't know how to submit, and it's not polished, and they don't know how to set things up and impress and wow an editor.
Hmm.
So we're considered like the gatekeepers. We take on raw manuscripts. We polish them. We get them ready to be submitted, and then we submit it in a standard format. So when the editor opens up the email, sees the query, they know it's from LLA and that it should be pretty much good to go. But the thing is, with editors, it depends on what the genre is. Good example is children's book. A children's book editor could be a picture book editor, a mid-grade, a YA. So you have to decide, you know, ahead of time which one's which before you submit it, because picture book editors aren't going to take them away.
Right.
How we find out about this is through lots and lots of research and contacts and networking. Social media is fantastic, going to conferences and meeting these people. is priceless because you get to shake their hand, talk to them. You know, you get to know somebody really quick that way, get the feel for them. Whereas, you know, you just send them a query, it's like a cold call.
Right.
So when you
after doing this for 8 years, you get to know a lot of people.
Well, I'm sure.
So when you say you polish it to prepare it for submission. So in my mind, again, I think of that a little bit as an editing process. Is it? It could be then that once the publisher takes it on, might an editor do more editing with it, or work through you back to the author if they feel there's more work that needs to be done?
Well, I don't do a comprehensive edit. I will read a manuscript and edit it as I'm reading it because I can't go by an error. I can't just skip over it.
Yeah.
And if it needs content, I'll put notes in, you know, doing track changes. But I guess you could say that I'm an editor in a way because I edit the work and I work with the author back and forth and back and forth, sometimes for months, getting their manuscripts set. So when the editor gets it, even if he thinks it needs some content editing, in other words, change this, add that, we don't need this character, we need another character, or we need to change the location on that, those things can be done simply after the manuscript is clean, you know, error-free. It's like opening, it's like reading someone's email and they don't use the right punctuation or they don't use paragraph form or they don't fix it the way they should. It catches your eye.
Oh, yes. That's fascinating.
Computer speak.
Yes, I do edit the work. I do probably 3 reads of any work that I take on to make sure it's as clean as possible.
Now, Jeannie, on the synopsises that are on each book that, you know, as I was saying, the ones that I was reading through and I just was making notes like, I got to read that, got to read that. Who writes those wonderful, captivating, compelling, got to have it, got to read it descriptions of the books? Who writes those?
Me.
I wondered if it would be hard as an author to write something so compelling about your own work or whether it's, you know, whether you would need somebody else to do that for you.
Well, I'll tell you right now, ask 10 authors what's the hardest thing about being an author, and they'll tell you it's the synopsis. It's the hardest thing for them to do because they know that book so thoroughly, it's hard for them to put it in a nutshell. Now, you know, I'm not saying that I write their synopsis that I send to the editor. I usually do the book blurbs and what I put on the website. And I use some of their query information, some of their synopsis, and some of the story that I remember to write that, but those are written by me. And sometimes the publisher will use what I've written to put on the back of the book for the book blurb, which I read it, and then I go, hey, I wrote that. I am an author.
Well, you know, speaking of authors, we have so far, I was racking my brain the other day trying to think of, we've had 2 or 3 of your writers on here
with us. And we have some coming.
And we have some coming. And I think Claire Fullerton was one, Pam Maltz, and I think there was a third. I don't remember. That must be the age thing.
I tell you, it would tickle me pink if you had as many of mine on there as you possibly could.
Well,
they would love to do it.
You know, we have a way of going about getting them on the air, and if, as long as they do it, they're great. And all they have to do is email our booker. And that's at guestwb@yahoo.com, and she will respond.
We have Chuck Walsh coming on. We have
Rich
Elling.
Right, yeah, from San Francisco.
Yeah, he's got a last name like I've got.
Yeah.
You got to practice it.
And we have Ed. Is that who we just said? Ed Pretzel?
No.
Ed Pretzel, yes. Ed is fantastic. His book just came out, The Lies That Bind.
Yeah, The Lies That Bind. I believe we have him, and this is just going through March. I was just looking at who we have in the next 2 months. And then we also have, now I'm just having a, because I was doing things in bold, and now I can't.
She's having a blonde moment.
Oh, Jeannie Charters. Gene or Jeannie?
Gene Charters.
Okay. And I think there's one more, Jack Martin.
Yeah, there's
Jack.
And now he has a series, Confederate. He has a Civil War series, right?
Yes, and he just had a brand new one come out called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Right, and I think he's on our. If he's not on our schedule, I was thinking he should be because I put him on bold.
I think he may be.
And he's California. He's a California-based author, I think.
Yeah, we're booked up through June, so I don't know from any week to the next he's going to be on.
How did you find us? How did you find us?
That's a good question. Wait a minute. I believe one of my authors suggested you.
Oh, okay.
And then I contacted you, and then I started sending people your way.
Yes, you did.
Yep, and we really appreciate it. My goodness. Absolutely.
Now, Richard Paolinelli that's coming on, his first book just came out. It's called Reservations. I was quite intrigued with that, mainly because nobody that I know of has written about a murder mystery. It's a murder thriller that takes place on the Navajo Nation Reservation in New Mexico. And I never thought about it, but they, as a Native American, the law enforcement officials in the United States aren't allowed just to go on the reservation to do anything.
Right,
that has
to be federal
officers. It's like their own nation, right. And they actually had to invite the FBI in to investigate.
Yeah, they have their own police forces.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was eye-opening. His research was magnificent.
I'm going to have to stick you on hold for just a second. Bobby's going to read a live commercial. This ought to tickle you. And we'll be back to you in just a few. So hang on.
Target Freight Truckload, TFM, is a division of Target Freight Management and, quite honestly, the finest truckload company in the United States. If you are looking for a reputable freight company for full truckloads that get to you 100% of the time, even in snow, call Target Freight TFM Truckload. Call them today. Grab your pen, your pencil, your tablet, your iPhone, and put in this number, 1-844-653-7789. Tell them you heard this on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something special just for you. That's Target Freight Truckload.
Yay.
We so appreciate them. Thank you.
Appreciate them. And you're back with The Writer's Block. It's now 8:25 in the evening. And it's brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, of course, Target Freight Management, Out West Boutique Cultural Center. And if you want to call and talk to Jeannie Loyacano, the number here is 818-602-4929. And that's for all you budding authors out there that wonder how you get an agent. And and Jeannie, you're back with us.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeannie, on your website under the submission guidelines, you have some really great nuggets. You call them nuts and bolts and special effects. And so for any of our listeners who maybe are dreaming of sitting down and getting that first, you know, manuscript written, or you've been writing but you could use a little coaching, maybe you're not ready to submit yet, these are really great things to consider. Again, not being a writer, I found them fascinating. I have a couple questions if I could ask you about sort of like, you know, what do you mean by? One of them was place gold coins along the path. Reward the reader with high points, especially in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Some people who write mysteries or thrillers, they call them red herrings. In other words, you have to keep the reader interested in turning pages. If they get bored and they can put the book down and they can go do something else, that's a bad sign. So you want to keep them glued to the couch and turning pages, and then when they finish the book, you want them to reread it because they're going to go, wow, I've got to go back and read that again. That's a good sign. So the golden nuggets are little things that keep you intrigued, that make you want to read more.
And along a similar line, you talk about foreshadow dramatic events or powerful conclusions and plant important clues early.
Yes.
Now, do you find
it's the tidbits of information that are the most compelling. Like, for instance, when you're reading and it says, she sighed and she looked at him. Well, then you're wondering, did she just figure things out? What did she see? What was she thinking? So it's little nuances that keep you going. It's like innuendos or, little tidbits of information that make you want to figure out what that person's thinking, what that person's going to do next. A good person for that is Michael Infinito. He can write a scary book. I've said it over and over again. He's like the next Stephen King. You never know what's going to happen next. And just when you think, oh, this is what's going to happen, no, it doesn't. And then at the end of every one of his books, you're going, oh, that's what you love. That's what you love about his writing.
Do you find when you're reading a manuscript, do you find sometimes that you're seeing opportunities to have planted some clues that didn't get planted? Or are most authors kind of able to plant those clues all along? They know they need to be doing that. Do you know what? Or do you, as you read along, you kind of think, oh, we needed, you know what? It would have been great if back here we needed to let the reader know we needed to plant one of those clues.
Well, honestly, if it's a good writer, and I don't take on any bad writers.
Okay,
honestly, every one of mine is fabulous. They've already got that figured out.
Okay.
A lot of them go to writers' workshops and have been writing for many years, sometimes many decades, and they've honed their craft so they know where to plant those seeds. And they've read their own work, so they go back and they go, oh, I can, make this a little bit better or change that a little bit. They see those things. That's why, like in my submission guidelines, I always say, make sure you reread your work, that you have someone else other than your mom or your sister or your wife or your husband read your work. Someone who's going to be critiquing it and testing you and honing you. Not someone that's going to say, hey, this is just a great book. You need to go get it published. Anybody can say that. But for someone to actually know the craft, like at writers' conferences, you can meet people that are involved in writers' workshops or writers' critique groups. There's a great one here in Dallas. And Dreema Berkheimer is a member of that one. And her book is out now, but it's actually going to be launched April 1st. It's called Running on Red Dog Road. And this story has been with her for 40 years, and it took her 6 years to write it. So, sometimes you can write a book in 6 months, and sometimes it takes nearly a lifetime.
Yes, that is true.
Do you have a question, Jim?
I did, actually. You and I had spoken, I believe, yesterday, right, Jeannie? And we had mentioned submissions of, Melissa had told me, 80,000, they like to see 80,000 words. And you thoroughly agreed with her, and so I told you that I gave her 85,000 words.
You did good.
But now, we had an author here not too long ago, and I don't remember who it was, and I another old age thing. But they specifically sat in the green room with us and said, well, 80,000 words is a big book. He says, but most people now are liking the shorter ones, the 40 to 50,000 word books. What is your take on that?
I think a good novel is between 70 and 100,000 words. Below 70, it's lacking, and above 100,000, it turns into an epic novel.
Uh-huh.
So I think it needs to be within those parameters, and most publishers will say the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you have something under 70,000, you know, a good novel, it said that a novel starts at around 50 or 55,000 words. But to me, that's not very big. If you're holding a book that's 50,000 words, it's really thin. And it's something you could probably read on an airplane ride, but it's not something you'd want to spend days reading or enjoying. You know, it's too short.
And what about one of our authors that we had on, Margaret Brownlee, writes for I think Thomas Nelson maybe is her publisher, and they encourage her to do a series, and it's usually three books or so in the series. And I see that some of your authors seem to have, you know, standalone books, and some are doing series. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Most of the time, authors will have a plan. They're not one-hit wonders. Some books are standalone, and they write several books, and they're different. Like Kathleen M. Rogers, her first book was The Final Salute. There was no sequel to it. Even though she probably could have written a sequel, she didn't. But her second book, Johnny Come Lately, does have a sequel, and it might even have a third. We don't know. So I think it's more, like I said, a plan. You have it in your head that this is going to continue. For instance, Tom Simmons, he thought By Accident Birth was going to be it, the only one. And I said, well, we've got to find out what happens to Ansel. You've got to write the second book. And he calls me his slave driver. So he wrote the second one, and now I get to the end of the second manuscript, and I said, Tom, you can't leave me hanging. I mean, you've got to bring it up a little bit further. We've got to get past World War II. And he said, oh, no, not again. I went, yes, you've got to write the last one. Yeah. And make another. And he went, no.
Yeah, but then, Jeannie, you're going to tell him, no, can't stop at three. You got to keep going.
But his writing is so exemplary, you don't want to stop reading it. It is so well researched and so well done that you don't want to stop. It's like when I first started reading a lot of good novels, the one that really stuck with me was Diana Gabaldon's Outlander series, which is, I think it's on Stars now. It is a miniseries
Outlander.
Or something. But I could not get enough of her writing, and that's the way I am with my authors. I tell them, you know, this can't be it. Jean Charters, who's going to be on your show,
right?
Her first book is Shani Gold,
right.
And then she's got Lace Curtain coming out later on this year. So then she's going to write the third one.
Are you on her, too?
I'm on her, too. See, she didn't have them written. She had the first one written and the other two outlined on what she was going to do, but she didn't have it written. Most of my authors already have them written.
Mm-hmm.
And all I've got to do is go from one manuscript to the next. Robert Hirsch's book, Promise of the Black Monks, will be out very soon. And that is the first of four, and he's working on the fifth.
Wow.
And these are epic historical fictions that are absolutely fabulous.
Jeannie, what do you like best about the process of bringing a book from manuscript to publication?
The best part, honestly, is when an author sends me a picture of themselves holding their book.
Yeah.
That is what makes my day. It's not the check in the mail. It's not, you know, the publisher signing them. It's when they're holding their baby in their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
And if we were to shadow you, you know, on a day, do you spend a good part of it just reading, or do you read quickly, or how many manuscripts, you know, hit your desk every day? How do you, like, what's your day like? What is the day of a literary agent's life look like?
I want to know what her coffee bill is.
Her coffee bill.
Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
You know, my husband bought me 25 pounds of coffee beans recently, so I have plenty of coffee.
Good.
Yeah, my feet hit the ground around 4 or 4:30 in the morning. and I get all of my domestic duties done and my exercise done, and then I am on it from about 7:30, 8 o'clock until about 9 o'clock at night every day.
Holy mackerel.
And is a lot of that time in the reading, or is some of that time like, okay, I need to take a look at the newest things that have come through, and then I need to be, you know, following up on projects that we're working on? Like, how do you find enough time to read? We're all trying to find more time in our day to read. How do you find time to read?
Well, it's called priority. Like, in the mornings, I spend at least an hour, hour and a half working on a manuscript, reading it and editing. That's the way I wake up with my coffee.
Oh, gotcha.
Then I have to check email, and then I have to do those by priority. And then I have books that are launching, books that need promotion, marketing, working on book blurbs, working with the author and the publisher on covers. It's a never-ending process. Mm-hmm. So I think the main word there is priority. You've got to figure out what has to be done and when, and make sure it all gets done. Yeah, at the end of the day, I've got to make sure everything's been taken care of.
And you have such great, you know, again, information specific to how to submit. One of the things that you say is the author must also present a marketing plan. In today's market, every author must show how they would market their book, even when approaching an agent. So are you also able to give... You know, authors, if they're not already doing social media, they don't, you know, this is a new world of publishing and marketing.
let me give you a little history. Old school was you wrote a manuscript on your typewriter. Everybody remember what a typewriter is, right?
Vaguely.
you had to put a piece of paper in it, and you had to type on it if you made a mistake. Back in the old days, you had to throw it away, then came whiteout. I love that stuff.
We loved whiteout.
and then you had to box that 350 pages or more and send it to a publisher. If you were lucky, you had a place where you could make a copy, but most of the time, that was it. I mean, there was carbon paper where you could make copies. Mm-hmm. But you had to mail that in, and you had to wait months and months and sometimes years to hear back any kind of response. Well, nowadays, it doesn't take that long. I can send a manuscript in for a submission, and I can get a response back in 60 seconds saying, well, this is not something I'm interested in at this time, or, hey, this is a great idea because they got caught by the query, they got hooked in by the query, and they read the synopsis, they like the idea, but I think I'll take a look and read it. So then that one's reading. But sometimes it takes a long time to hear back, and sometimes not. But with the submission guidelines, it explains that, how do I go about saying that?
Just blurt it out.
It's not the quality of the book. It's whether or not the editor... is not necessarily in the mood, but if it catches the editor's eye, if it's the genre that they're working with, if it's something that's well written, they'll want it.
Mm-hmm. I have to do another commercial, so can you hang back with us?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in less than 60 seconds.
Okay.
Hey, you LTL shippers out there. Chances are you're looking for a great company to help move your freight. Look no further. Target Freight Management is and should be your company of choice. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to get your freight moved the way you want to move it. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com. You won't be sorry you did. And like I always say, I'm not sorry I did. Mm-hmm. They're a great company to work for. And we're back. And if you're just now joining us, you're way too late. We're speaking with a young lady from Texas tonight. And her name is Jeannie Loyacano. And she is a publisher. She is a literary agent. She owns the Loyacano Literary Agency. And Jeannie, you're back with us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Is there anything that you want to just chat about on your own?
Well, I could talk about my book all day long. So you better be specific.
Well, do you want to ask her the what kind of guidance she gives to authors that are, you know, our big master question?
You just did.
Well, no, you ask it.
The main thing would be to make sure that your manuscript has been read and critiqued, that it's polished. And what I'm saying is that when you read it, there's no errors.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten submissions that you open it up, and the first sentence, there's commas missing, punctuation marks missing, it doesn't make any sense. The tenses are off. I can tell you that it's much harder to sell a first person than it is a third person.
Mm-hmm.
Written. There's just something about that that's a little more difficult because you're writing an I instead of telling the story about you.
Right. We just had this conversation with Craig Johnson 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, January 7th.
Yeah, and he loves writing in first person. He just loves it. And he says, I can't write. He says, I don't want to. He said, she said.
Yeah, we see it all through Longmire's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, but I can certainly see, even as a reader too, that the challenges that would exist for mm-hmm. a first person. Jeannie, I know that the manuscripts are basically, you know, coming to you polished and ready, but I know some of your authors you've worked with more than once. Do any of them ever come to you for a little guidance? They're, you know, they're working on something and they've hit that so-called writer's block.
I don't necessarily have them coming to me because they've hit a writer's block. They bounce ideas off of me all the time. Kathleen Rogers is like that with her sequel to Johnny Come Lately, Seven Wings to Glory. We went on a book tour to New Mexico, and we drove there from Dallas. And all the way there, that's what we're doing, is we're writing the book while we're talking going down the road. And she's taking notes, and lo and behold, some of my ideas come out in the book.
So are you ghostwriting it?
I'm not a ghostwriter. When I fall in love with characters like I did with her book, you know, I know those people. They're real to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about Johnny or Dale or Kellyanne, those are people that I know. And we can write a story about Mama and Brother Dog. So
she would be
recommend that one, too.
In this case, she would be like Ghost Rider in the car.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, Ghost Rider in the sky.
In the sky. Jeannie Loyacano, Ghost Rider in the car. I like it.
I wanted to get back to one thing that you were talking about as far as a marketing plan for an author. Like I was saying, the old days, you used to have to mail your stuff off to a publisher and you had to wait, and then you were taken care of completely when they took the book on. Like, for instance, they would put you on book tour and they would send you from one big city to another and you do book signings and people would be lined up outside for it. That doesn't happen anymore because a lot of the brick-and-mortar bookstores are out of business.
Right, right.
And most people, honest to goodness, buy them online. It's so much easier. You can go click, 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 and they're at your front door the next day. You don't have to leave your house.
That's
true. So in order for authors to make it in this world where there's a lot of self-publishing, and if you look on Amazon, they'll say, there's 6.5 million books here to choose from. That's your competition. So you have to have an idea on what you can do, when you can do it, how much time and effort and money you're willing to put into it. Because the publisher wants to know, hey, listen, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And that's where I step in, and that's where the author is supposed to step up to the plate, and we help the publisher sell the book.
There you go. Hey, we're running out of time. Can you take a couple minutes and give everybody your contact information, your email, and
web address.
Where they can find you.
Okay, well, the website is www. LLA.LoyaconaLiteraryAgency.com. And if that's a mouthful for you and you can't remember that, just LLALLC.net.
You can also go to the Writer's Block Facebook page.
Yes, you
where
can.
We will be posting, if we haven't already, with Jeannie's picture, the
it's up there.
Web address, and then the podcast link once we have that tonight.
It's up
and
there.
That will always be a place that you can go to find this. And then, Jeannie, we would love it if you would encourage your authors, whether they're currently booked for our show or not, to think when as part of their marketing plan. We would really like to see more followers and fans of the Writer's Block Facebook page. And they could just go and post there, you know, that the book's coming out, where they're making an appearance, anything like that.
Yeah.
That we want to be that conversation place for authors and readers, and we really need authors and readers and literary agents like you to help us, you know, put that on your list of all the places you're posting things. Please post on the Writer's Block Radio Show Facebook page.
And
absolutely. And I wanted to let you know also, you said, how do I go about helping them with the marketing and all that?
Right.
When I take on an author, I have what I call the author promo info, which is a lot of information about conferences, bookstores, book clubs, libraries. I mean, you name it, I've got the information on it. And I give that to each one of the authors that I take on.
That's so
to help
valuable.
Them with marketing
That's
and promotion.
So valuable.
And you are in that.
Oh, good.
You are part of that.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And we do really want to encourage, again, if you're listening and you are a columnist, a screenwriter, an author, a poet, you know, this is, we reach out to you. Please use this. Please go and post on our page.
Well, that, and if you want to appear on the Writer's Block Radio Show, you merely need to email guestwb@yahoo.com. That goes directly to our booker, Jerry Christina, and she'd be more than happy to give you all the information you need. And remember, it's not going to be immediate because we are booked up through June.
Booked.
So,
yeah, exactly.
First come, first serve for July, guys. And I believe we have one of your authors, Jeannie, that we're holding back for after June.
So, okay.
So
yeah, maybe does he or she have a book coming out? Want me to?
No, she got in late.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So it's been a pleasure having
one
you.
One person that I would like to recommend that would be fabulous for your show is James Washburn.
Give him our email address.
I sure will.
We appreciate
that. This book just came out on audio.
Oh, good.
Fabulous.
And what are you? What's on your bedside table that you're reading right now, Jeannie?
Well, actually, it's called a book called. It's not even one of my authors. I met him at the Military Writers Association conference out in Arizona a few months ago, and it's Warrior by Bill McDonald. That's what I'm working on. I call it my rec read because everything else I read is for work.
Right.
So I have to have a book on my bedside table for my rec read.
And is it electronic reader or is it a good old-fashioned, you know, page-turner?
It's a paperback, of course. I like to have a regular book in my hand.
There you go.
We got to ask that question.
Hey, look, I have your address. We're going to be sending you a coffee mug that has the Writer's Block logo on it.
Oh, sweet.
For all of that coffee you're going to be drinking. Thanks for coming on with us tonight, Jeannie. It's been an absolute ball having you. And
well, you're quite welcome.
And feel free to call us anytime we're on the air. We'll be more than happy to take your call.
Yes, sir. I will think about that, but it's a little bit past my bedtime.
Well,
you know, I
know.
Get up at 4:00.
I know. Normally, it's past mine, too. Okay. Thanks so much again, and have fun. Have a good evening, rest of your evening, anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay. I appreciate y'all having me on the show.
Loved it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jeannie Loyacano.
That was really, how interesting. That's
and you
really
said
fun.
You didn't have any questions.
Oh, I always have some questions. It's so interesting to me.
Well, I figured it would be fun to have someone who actually deals with the authors.
Absolutely.
And kind of get an idea. And I hope those people that are listening to the show and that are new writers, they take some of her advice and give her a call and get a hold of her agency because she really is a nice lady.
And there's such good information on the website.
And really, there is a lot of
really
good information.
How to prepare, how to prepare yourself and how to prepare your manuscript.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight to Bobby.
Good night, Jim.
Good night to Jim, who's sitting over here wearing his headphones, nodding his head. I think he's sleeping.
No, he's not. He's laughing and smiling and having a good old time.
Thanks for being with us tonight on The Writer's Block. Next week, we have Johnny D. Boggs. Good writer, a lot of books. And I've got a finished one I've got on my Kindle, so
and I've
got to get busy.
Get started.
There you go. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next Thursday, right here on The Writer's Block. Mm-hmm.